This is the beginning. Maybe some of you are already playing the game, but we, every single one of you now are officially committed to everyday delivery of loving kindness, wherever you go, to everybody you meet. That's going to be your agenda. You see, this is not a conference. This is a pep rally. This is a pep rally with food supplied, not the kind you put in your mouth, the kind you put in your heart. That's what our speakers are here for, to feed you so that you can really be built up and strengthened with insights and information to do the kindness thing even better. And we are very, very serious. We are so desperately and enthusiastically eager to get this prairie fire ignited and flowing and going across the world. It is needed, it is good, and it's easy. It's easy. We just have to do it. We just have to think about it. And we guarantee that if you are converted to this cause or recharged to work at it, we guarantee you that not only are you going to be making the world better, you're going to find greater joy yourself. Guaranteed. Not only will you be healing the hurts and building the hopes of others, you will be finding for yourself fresh, solid meaning and purpose in your life. Till the day you die. Your last sentence may be, "Nurse, you're a great nurse." Doing it right to the end. And you'll have a reason to be alive even then. So if you take on this mission and are willing to pay the price, because there is a price, in terms of discomfort, feeling helpless, being short on energy, sometimes being embarrassed, sometimes uncertain if you did anything at all. If you're willing to pay the price, you will be more gratified by far than if you won the lottery. Guaranteed. You know, the lottery is nice. It's like a hot fudge sundae. It's terrific taste, but then it's over with. But when you're living a life committed to caring and kindness, it never goes away. The gratification lasts. And this little book, and I can do some shameless self-promotion, because it's everything I learned from people like you, and there's about 25 people included in it who actually gave me anecdotes about their acts of care and kindness. And so this is the Bible. Not really. Small B. Bible, small B. And I hope you'll get it, and I'd be love to sign it for you. And I can do that shameless promotion because I'm not earning any money from it. The money is all going to help the church and help support this program. And I'd like to give you a little theological perspective on this. And I'm not, you know, I'm a little uneasy about it, but this is what I really believe. I think Jesus came into this world just as much to bring peace on earth as to get us to heaven. We talk about heaven all the time, but I think what Jesus came for was to revolutionize the world and life down here. You know, hallowed be thy name, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's what this is about. That's what we're about. Helping to make that happen. And that's eternal life. When we are captivated and driven by the agenda of helping bring peace on earth. And we do that through the very simplest of things. One of the simplest little examples in the book is Jan Peterite, who's selling the books back there. She went to visit her mother, who's over 100, and she noticed another little old lady fumbling with that cracker package, you know, the cellophane. She couldn't get it open. So Jan got up and went and opened it for her. For the rest of her visit, that lady was smiling at her like she was an angel. You don't get it much simpler than that. And yet that's part of it. Noticing, getting up, helping, whether it's simple or complex, if it's opening a cracker packet or going to Iraq to fight. We are together trying to bring peace on earth. Through Jesus' example. You know, he suffered and died. And that got us heaven. But it also shows us what real life is about. It's about giving up for others to make the world better. And that's what we're about. Doing that. You know, Bev's introduction about God is working through you. We had a very interesting interview the other day. My CPE students, some of you are here. We interviewed a man who had a fight with cancer. He's still fighting it. And he spent many days in City of Hope, which is the premier, one of the premier cancer centers here. And we had the chance to ask him questions about that. And he, one of the questions we asked him, and he said it was terrible. You know, he had to have a bone marrow transplant. They gave him chemotherapy until he was almost dead. And he said it was the absolute worst thing he's ever gone through. And then one of the CPE students asked him about where was God in all this. And he said, most of the time through that, I felt God had abandoned me. And then he said, it was only when someone showed up that I felt God was there. God wasn't there till you showed up. He said they had to wear masks and gowns and gloves, and sometimes he didn't even know who it was. He doesn't even remember who they were. Doesn't matter. If they had said a word, touched his hand, prayed with him, then he felt God was there. Now, I felt that that was the most powerful message of what we are about and what the world needs, God coming through us. And no, nothing did he say, somebody said something profound, somebody said something just wonderful, or somebody quoted something terrific. It was, they were there. The most memorable medical person in all of that, and there were dozens, and often he said he felt that the medical people didn't even look at him. They were always interested in symptoms, but he was very appreciative of them. But he said the most memorable medical person was the woman, the RN, who rubbed salve on his parched head. She sticks out in his memory. So that, I'm going to write a song about that, Bev. Yeah, You write the music, but I got the words working in my head. You know, God wasn't there till you showed up. That sounds like a Johnny Cash thing, doesn't it? Yeah. I'm going to work next year. Next year we're going to have that. Okay. That's what this is about. It didn't take any talent to show up, wear the mask and gown. But he didn't feel God was there till somebody in person was there. And that's what this is about. Fighting evil, fighting loneliness, fighting hopelessness through simple acts of care and kindness. Stuff that anybody can do, and it's a specific thing that no one is left out of to make this world a better place. And you cannot and should not and must not discount the simple act you do. The smile you give, the cracker packet you open, but it takes noticing. It takes looking around. I'll say more of this later. It requires taking ownership of this world and everything around you. You know, the church is changing. The church is changing. A lot of us who go to church every Sunday don't realize that. But the church is not going to be so much about going to church. That's what I've been learning. It's not going to be so much about building the congregation in the conventional sense. The church, the emerging church, is about doing exactly what we are preaching. Being out there, building the kingdom. And you can build the kingdom in many, many ways. Driving truck, building houses, creating systems, electronic geniuses. They're all building the kingdom, making the world better for people. Making a better world. That's building the kingdom of God. So there's all kinds of ways to do it. But we're talking about a simple way that everybody can do it. And that's by everyday consciousness of giving, caring, appreciating, encouraging other people. And that's what the church, we're told, is going to increasingly be exactly what you are here for, to find a way to spread goodness wherever we go. Not being the club, but being a system, a program, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus, bringing Spirit-lifting material everywhere we go. Making the world brighter. Making the world better. And the interesting thing is, and Martin Seligman, he was a guest here a few weeks ago, he's the most, probably the most famous, the most outstanding psychologist in the world, Martin Seligman. And he doesn't believe in God himself, but he says that those who do and those who live out doing what God wants them to do, and what we're talking about is living out care and kindness intentionally, conscientiously, consistently, every day, toward everybody, for God's sake, in the Spirit of Christ, for Jesus' sake. People who do that have the most meaningful lives possible because they're doing it for the greatest good. Not just doing it, but they're doing it because they believe in something. They are doing it serving God, their Lord and Creator. And that's what this is all about. Finding the way to bring peace on earth, goodness on earth. And lo and behold, finding greater meaning and greater happiness yourself. It's a win-win situation. So glad you're here. I am. This is so important and so needed and so good. And we have to, you know, in the past we used the word tsunami. We don't use that anymore. Tsunamis, we found out, are not words to throw around. Now we're using something like prairie fire. Pretty soon we'll find out that that's too harsh too. But we want to start something and continue something and ignite something that really starts spreading. And we think it is absolutely a win-win situation. So don't just take it for yourself. Take it home and spread it. Take it home and share it. But above all, take it home and do it. And so thank you for being here. Now, just before I conclude, I want you to do something. And this won't be hard. Make sure you know each other around the table or behind you. Would you just meet each other a little more? This time with words. This time with words. Because you got to know who's there with you. May no one be a stranger. Make sure everybody gets loved, hugged, welcomed, greeted, included, surrounded. May no one be here alone. We got to start right here. Just another thing to say amen to, but something to thoughtfully incorporate into your life so that you're different today than yesterday. Okay. Along those lines, I'm going to make some appointments. You are all appointed to be the chairperson of the Speaker Appreciation Committee. Okay, now each of you, we only have part of the day left, but you are the chairperson of the Speaker Appreciation Committee. And that means, of course, every speaker you hear, except me. I don't count. I'm not a speaker. I'm just sort of the stuff here. The speakers you hear, you are responsible to make sure they get appreciated. Okay? I want to say a little bit about the word ownership, because that's one of the things that I'm going to say a little bit more about that later, but yesterday you saw an example of ownership in this room, and I want to stress that again. The kind of ownership every one of us needs to take into our lives. The ownership you saw yesterday was when Eric Evenheis came up to me and said, "Let's move that podium down." Now, there he's sitting in the audience. Like everybody else, now I couldn't see it. I was over there. I could see the people, but nobody could see the panel. And one person embarrassed himself, made a scene by making sure we took that podium down so everybody else could see. Now that's taking ownership in the way that every one of us has to start living.
That you don't just sit there and say, oh, isn't that too bad? We can't see the panel. Or you go home and you criticize, oh, those stupid people, they didn't know how to set that thing up. That's taking ownership in every room, place, neighborhood we are part of. We can and must take ownership like that to improve the situation. You don't have a right to fret and complain unless you do something about it or somebody fights back. Taking ownership. Okay. Some of you weren't here earlier in the week. And I just want to repeat, for everybody's well-being, to remind you of what this is about, this kindness campaign, this care project that we're promoting and emphasizing and encouraging. That this is something every human being can and must be part of. And as followers of Jesus, it is exactly what he wants us to do. And it is exactly the Spirit of Jesus that is living in us when we step up and do something that doesn't feel always comfortable, doesn't always feel just natural, but we meet a need. We perceive a need. We think there's a need, and we step forward and say something or do something to encourage, to support, to appreciate, to comfort someone else. And if you do that, and if you make that the campaign of your life, you have meaning in life. You have a reason to live. You have a purpose in life. And that's essential to living well. And it's not something that richer people or people in other places or smarter people or more educated people or anything else have that you don't have the possibility of. It is for everybody. It is possible for everybody. Maybe you've already raised a family. That's incredibly meaningful. Maybe you retired from a job or have a job where you are educating people or building devices or systems or techniques which make the world better. That's very meaningful. And it's part of building the kingdom. But there are millions of people who are just working. Their gifts don't fit the shop they're active in. They're just earning a living. Their capacities don't fit their employment, but that's a job and they have to do it and they have to feed the family. But they feel, and maybe you're one of those, they feel unfulfilled. They feel they're just making money. They may not believe they are part of something very big at all, but they have to do it. But if you are here tonight or today, I assume that you have a spirit of kindness and care in your heart. I think it's a safe assumption because at the heart of what God is compassion. There are no words that describe God more than the word compassion in the Bible. And we are created in the image of God, so that's part of us. Compassion is part of us. It is in us. And we are obligated and called to live it out. not as something necessarily just a duty or a legal thing or to make God happy. It's to make us happy and to make the world better. And it is in us. There's lots of that in chapter 3 of the new book. And to do and to let compassion out of your heart is to make the world better. And lo and behold, it makes you better. This is a win-win situation. And it's especially good because we are doing it, modeling it on the life of God, the goodness of God that we see in Jesus Christ. When we do compassionate things, kind acts, and we see it and understand it as part of something way beyond ourselves, God Himself, it is the key to authentic happiness. It is fantastic. And I believe in that Jesus wants us to create peace on earth and goodness on earth. That He came for that fully as much as He's intent on getting us to heaven in the next life. That's sort of a bonus. Peace on earth is number one. And we are the number one agents to do that. And it isn't just doing nice little things. That's part of it. Everything you do to the glory of God. If you're an artist, if you're a musician, if you're an educator, a scientist, a truck driver. This is all world building. And if you see it as part of the bigger picture, that you're doing it for God, you are part of something that is soul satisfying. Of course, the motivation to do good shouldn't be just to help yourself. But it is a byproduct that is guaranteed. You help others, you get the benefits. Not that this is an easy thing. I believe that when we put ourselves out, when it is awkward, when it is uncomfortable, it's even better. My granddaughter, Megan, saved her hair so that she could cut it off when it was 10 inches long to give to this foundation, Locks of Love. Barbara Hokanson's little girl did the same thing. Now, what I liked about Megan's explanation was that, "Papa, I really didn't like to do that. I really hated to cut my hair off, but she did it. And that made it all the better. She was doing something that she felt good about and necessary, but it was hard for her. She was giving something up that she loved. And so when you do the good, it isn't always just smooth and easy and natural. It's overcoming the obstacles within yourself, the comfort level that we really want. Okay, I want to go on to one more thing. But think of that ownership part, will you please? And remember what you are appointed to. You know, we've all been brought up that it's better to give than to receive. It's almost like air. We just breathe it, and it's better to give than to receive. And that's a wonderful thing. It is a wonderful thing because of that, we assist people, we help people, we are taught that it's the right thing, the good thing, and it's the better thing, and it makes us do generous things and compassionate things and useful things and obedient things. It's all good. There's a but coming. And giving, when you give to someone, did you know this? You probably did from experience. That when you give and help someone, it usually makes you feel closer to them. Think about it. When you help someone, you feel closer to them. It's a law of nature. Now, up until the point where, you know, you get drained, but other than that, it's a law of nature that when you give to someone, when you help someone, you feel closer to them. You feel more affectionate, more loving. I mean, if you, you know, people who take care of their spouse who's in Alzheimer's or something, and they rub their feet and take care of them, and they get nothing back, they nevertheless, they feel more attached to that person. You feel distant from someone? Here's a scantily recognized law. You feel distant from someone, go do them a favor. And it will help build a bridge to that person. Okay, but now here's the other side, sort of the other side, important side. Remember how people used to go next door, maybe mom would say, go next door and borrow 2 eggs. I bet that never happens anymore. Go next door and get a cup of sugar. Do you know what happened when you would do that? That person would like you more. You borrow from them, they liked you more, not less. You ever think about that? You think you're putting someone out when you ask them for a favor? Well, you are pulling them closer. It's an absolute law. Always exceptions, of course. And it's time for us to act on that, to engrave that in our psyche. Go ask the neighbor guy to use his ladder. He will love you more. He won't feel put out. Bring it back, of course. But the real thing here is, let others help you. Let others do kind things to you. Accept people's acts of grace and favor and helpfulness. Don't be so self-sufficient. And especially, don't say, oh, no, don't bother, don't put yourself out. Don't act like you are being gracious in resisting kindness toward yourself or nudging away someone's helpfulness. They're going to give you some time or energy or stuff, and you think they're putting themselves out. You are doing them a favor and accepting it. Get this into your mind and operate on it. Let people help you. Let people be kind to you. Let people waste their money on you. Especially that. not only do you let them do kindness, they will feel closer to you when you let them help you. The operative word in some of this is to endure it. That's right. You have to endure some of that. This is in the book too. One of our staff people, and we've talked about it a lot. I don't know if she's here, probably not. But she left us a few months back, and she didn't let us give her a party. She just wanted to disappear. Now, this happens, another way dimension this happens with people setting up their memorial services and funerals or saying, I don't want anything when I die. Well, the logic here gets a little strange. But when, go back to the example of leaving and not wanting a party. Many times we have to endure people's goodness toward us. If we are uncomfortable with, we endure it. And in the process, they feel closer to us in the process of being allowed to help us and love us and show their affection. Talk about a win-win situation. That's it. You get, and they get. And it's absolutely opposite. You know, we talk all the time about doing it, giving it, being kind, being caring. Put this in the book too. Let people love you. Graciously accept acts of kindness that come toward you. Okay, that's the end of this one. Now we're going to get on to some really good stuff. But we're supposed to take a look.